Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Outback Goldfields, traded on now the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol OZ, and on the OTCQB under the symbol OZBKF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Donaldson. Now, to bring everybody up to speed, Outback Goldfields is focused in Victoria, Australia, around the Fosterville gold mine. The company holds 4 projects in total, again, all in Victoria, Australia. And as I mentioned on the onset there, the company is now traded on the TSX Venture Exchange. That news broke last week, January 4th. The company announced it, and the trading started on the venture on January 6th. Chris, before we get into what investors can expect for this year, 2022, take us through the, I guess, in a way, growing up of the company to get on the venture exchange. Why make the move now?
Yeah, hey, Corey. We decided to list on the TSX Ventures, something we started last year, actually quite a process to get us to that point. It's a bit of a milestone for us. It just allows us to get better access to capital, and especially for, you know, our company, which I would say about a third of our shareholders are Australian, and much, much easier for them to trade, get into the stock on the TSX venture as well. So it's a good milestone for us. Obviously, gives us a little more visibility on the venture, and happy to get all the admin work behind us and start trading here last week.
And again, that symbol OZ on the venture exchange. Let's talk about the 2022 plans, because we talked a couple months ago recapping what the company went through in last year, 2021, and some of the access issues that you had in Australia due to some of their COVID lockdowns. Australia broadly now, though, is more open. They have a higher vaccination rate. They are remaining more open. So that means the company can get some more work done this year. Let's start with the Yungurn property. You had a RAP drill program last year designed to isolate some more targets. Can you recap that RAB drill program and then outline how that's tying into the work plan for this year?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you hit the nail on the head. Last year it was challenging with COVID and starting and stopping, and then, you know, not being able to get a drill onto site because it couldn't pass state line or cross state lines and so forth. So we're hoping that's behind us. We'll see what happened with this Omicron and if that kind of put some delays on things. But right now we've been able to resume our work that we had started on the property near the end of last year, and we just completed our RAB program, which of course is shallow drilling, 10 or 30 meters. We did about 300 holes, and that was centered around the Golden Jacket mine, which is a historic mine on the Yungurn property. Ultra high grade. It was mining at about 250 gram per ton. So the idea on that was to define the Golden Jacket structure. The results from it were encouraging. You know, we're looking for high levels of arsenic in the samples, which is a trace mineral for us here. So the structure itself turns out to be larger than we thought. So we're going to follow it up now with an air core and AC drilling, and do another, let's say, 250 holes over about 5 kilometers. We'll space them about 100 meters or so apart. And we've secured the drill, and I believe it's going to start about January 24th or 5th. And yeah, we're looking to get some more robust samples out of that. We have an XPRF, which is kind of a scanning device that will give us some real-time sampling or testing. And, you know, anything that has some good indicators on it, we'll kind of fast-track that to the lab. And, yeah, I mean, it's really further target identification. You know, these things are not easy to find. So you do need to do it methodically. And the hope and the goal out of this is to really identify some prime targets that we will then drill with a diamond drill subsequently, right? So, you know, this will be about a, you know, 3-4 week program, and we'll see what results we get, and then we'll be anxious to follow up the targets with some real drilling, we'll call it.
So Chris, how quickly could the company get to the real drilling aspect, and do you need to get more permits when you move to the diamond drill?
Yeah, and let me maybe clarify that a little bit. I mean, so, you know, we can get lucky on you know, on this drilling, and if you tie into some it happened to tie into the system and get some high gold results. So that's a bit of a fingers crossed hope on that. But the real goal is just to hit some prime targets. And like I said, we'll start last week of January. The program will run 3 or 4 weeks, and then we'll get the assays, which, you know, generally take about a month to get. And then we'll set up our diamond drill program. So that, what would that lead us to? Loosely, probably April, we'll get back in there and hit those prime targets.
Well, Chris, we'll be following along when you do. And let's pivot over to another project that's going to get more work this year, and that's the Ballarat West property. You had done some surface works and some rock chip sampling last year, but this will actually be the first year you drill Ballarat West. And I see that you have a couple targets, the Grassy's target, the Mitchell's target. Walk us through what the work plan will be at Ballarat West this year.
I like to kind of divide this year up into maybe three sections. So the first will be up at Ewan Groom with the program I just outlined. While that's going on, we're going to continue doing more soil work and identify some targets. And so once we're finished up drilling there, we'll move the drill down to Ballarat West and start working on that and drilling on that property. You know, that property is quite exciting. There's been over 17 million ounces of gold produced and being produced within, say, 3 kilometers of the property, yet it is largely untested, undrilled. And the reason for that is it's under that cover that a lot of the gold fields are subject to. So Craig Perry, who's our chairman, he believes this is our best chance of getting a, you know, multi-million ounce deposit. That, like I said, there's three of them, you know, adjacent to the property here. So yeah, that'll be kind of mid-year for us. And then you know, our third prong of our exploration plan this year will be on the Silver Spoon project, which is the one that's adjacent to Fosterville and Kirkland Lake / Agnico's property there. So we're waiting for the exploration license on that. And we expect to be able to get on that at the back half of the year. So really, we kind of have three swings at the ball here this year in roughly kind of 4 month increments.
Well, Chris, you brought up Silver Spoon there. Just walk people through that may not be familiar with that project, why you're excited about it. It is adjacent to the Fosterville mine, but what other geological signatures are you seeing, or what other work leads you to be excited about drilling that in the second half of this year?
We're in the early stages of that. It does have a lot of the similar markings of Fosterville that are there. If you drew a line in between Fosterville and Mandalay Bay's Costerfield mine, which has had some really good success this year as well. You know, we're roughly 8 kilometers from each of them. So, I mean, in terms of the closeology play, it's about as good as it gets. You remember that Newmont liked the area and purchased some tenements on the other side of us, which is also abutting our property. And of course, there was just a land auction for 4 parcels of land just to the north of us, which also touches us, and Kirkland Lake Agnico purchased those. So it's an absolutely exciting area. It's dripping gold. It's ultra high grade. So it's got everything that you want for an exploration play. The only thing we don't have right now is our exploration license. So, and like I said, we're hoping we'll have that kind of towards the back half of this year.
So Chris, when it comes to cash in the bank, where does the company stand and what is the budget, at least early on here, to get up and running on the three projects that you're planning on exploring this year?
Yeah, so I mean, the budget is a bit fluid. We have, you know, in the bank over $5 million now. We have certainly enough to cover the program that I outlined, you know, in all three of the prongs. So we're in good shape in terms of cash. I mean, I say it's a bit fluid in that, you know, if we tap into something, we may decide to do more drilling on various properties and really target in on it. But we're in pretty good shape for that. I mean, this is an area that you can drill virtually year round. You know, it's unlike, say, you know, some of the remote areas of Canada where you have a 3 month window to get in and you have a, you know, a real set timeline and program.
So, Chris, what do you want to leave investors with as they look at Outback Goldfield? Because, look, you guys are focused in this Victorian goldfields of Australia. You have these projects that are very close to some well-known assets. However, these projects do sound very early stage. So how should investors be viewing Outback?
So, I mean, you actually had your CEO technician, I think, was on last month and identifying some companies that really got beat up last year, and I would put ourselves in that category. It was tough for the market in general, and plus with the COVID delays and so forth, we got hammered down. But you know what, we were in, arguably the top gold jurisdiction in the world right now. We have enough cash to put a pretty robust program for the year. And if you see what some of our peers have done, it only takes one good hit to really make the share price pop. Look at E79 as an example there. So companies are getting rewarded for discoveries as an investment. It's high risk, high reward, but that's junior mining here.
It is, but nice to hear that you guys are cashed up, and you are right. That was Robert Sint, also known as Goldfinger, that was on before the end of the year, highlighting some of his favorite investments heading into this year. So you do have him on your side as well. One other note is I am a shareholder of Outback Goldfields. We'll be following up as more news hits the market. Chris, appreciate this update, and please keep us up to date on some news as you get these exploration programs started.
Will do. Thanks, guys.